a pleasure to be with you again. I think this is my third time, I can't remember. But anyhow, it's a pleasure to be here. Now, Ray told me to tell you what I'm doing in Jacksonville. That's a hard job to do this morning, but I'm going to try. I am a Bahamian. What that mean? I came from the Bahamas. Nassau, Bahamas is the capital of the Bahamas. If you know, the Bahamas is a nation of islands, and that's where I came from. Now, I came in America as a missionary. I'm a master electrician turned preacher. I was an elder in my home assembly, and I felt called to the work, to work among the black churches in America. I don't know if you know this, but the gospel as we know it is not preached in the black assembly, in the black communities in America. So I came with that task. Now, I've told you before, I think, what we have done, so I'm going to give you a brief account of what happened. We had an inner city ministry. I work among the drug addicts and the alcoholics, and had a mission downtown, and the city of Jackson took the building away from us, and we've been floundering ever since. Anyhow, we just got through dedicating a building on the north side of Jacksonville. We have 17 acres there that we have bought with some of the money, with all the money really, but we got from the city for taking our property. We're trying to build a community there where we can take homeless people off the street, lead them to Christ, and train them to go back into their communities to win souls for Christ. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's all I got time to tell you. So pray for us as we labor in Jacksonville. Got a message to bring to you this morning. The message I call A Man on a Mission. A Man on a Mission. That's a big topic to give. When Jesus Christ, or when God created man in the Garden of Eden, his intent was that he would build a community of saints. He wanted a people with whom he could fellowship, and a people with whom he could have for friends, like a big family. In the passing of time, the fall occurred. Some of you might know what I mean by the fall, but Bible scholars and teachers and students call the sin in the Garden of Eden as the fall. Man has fallen from his first estate. He has become a sinner by disobeying God. Ever since man fall, the Bible says our sins and our iniquities have separated us from God. But God promised in the Garden of Eden that he would undo what Adam did. He would undo what Adam did. Time would not afford me to go into full details of what really happened there, but God promised that he would. He said in essence that the son of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. Implicit in that statement was the fact that God would redeem man from his sin and bring him back to himself. Now, I call that a mission. Paul said that in the fullness of time, God sent for his son, born of a woman, that he might redeem those who are accursed. And that's what Jesus Christ came into the world for. Paul also said that this is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, I call Matthew chapter 10 and verse 10 the splashdown verse of the New Testament. What I mean by that? God promised that the Redeemer would come some 4,000 years later. Plus or minus 4,000 years later, Jesus Christ came to fulfill that promise that God made in the Garden of Eden. The incarnation is the most stupendous thing that has ever happened in the world. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, I'm going to say a lot of things that might be above your head. Those of you who are new in Bible study or understanding the Bible, I don't have the time this morning to go into details, but it was needful for Christ to have come. The Bible says our sins and our iniquities have separated us from God, and God had to correct that. And the only way he could have done that was to find a substitute. God had a problem on his hand. Now, don't get bent out of shape if I call God having a problem. God had to do something about the sin of Adam. He couldn't just strike him on his hand and say, you've been a bad boy, go and sin no more. He had to redeem mankind back to God. God could not have found anyone. This is the problem I'm talking about. God could not have found anyone capable of doing the job of redeeming man. He couldn't find anyone. God had to do the job himself. The poet writes, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. God only could unlock the gate of heaven to let us in. I traveled from Savannah, Georgia, into Miami, into New York. We spent about 14 hours debating the Bible, I and another brother. And he asked me, Brother Mallory, what would have happened if Adam didn't sin and only Eve had sinned? Oh, I said, I got an answer for that one. We discussed back and forth. You know, I said, I believe Adam would have been able to redeem his wife. He was perfect. Now, I know I'm going to have problems from you scholars and stuff, but he was perfect like son. And I said, I believe he could have. I didn't say he would. He could have redeemed his wife. That didn't happen. But God loved the world so much, he couldn't just let it go. He just couldn't let it go. The Bible tells a story that Jesus had an encounter with a man who came to him one night and he said, Master, we know that thou art a teacher came from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But long before that, when Jesus came into the world, he said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why I call Matthew 10 and 10 the splashdown verse of the Bible. What I mean by that is that, you know, an astronaut would go into space and he comes back to Earth and he splashes down. Jesus did something like that in kind. He came into the world among sinful men. And he came to save sinners. Do you know that the way to life in John chapter 10 and 10 is the same word that Jesus used in John 3:16. I am come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. And he said to Nicodemus the same word, if you believe in Christ, you will have eternal life. Now, I said that God had a problem on his hand, and I, one of the greatest problems that the world has ever been able to try to unravel was the fact that God could become the sacrifice for Adam's sin. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross for our sins, Paul said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. How could that happen? How could that happen? You know, I feel that the Apostle Paul is the greatest intellectual mind of all times, and he said, I couldn't understand that. Paul says that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Paul says, I've tried to stretch my mind to figure out how a man could be on the cross and beaten up on his own self for the sins or the crime that another person has done or that person has done. I got a problem for that. I call it the mystery of the incarnation. The mystery of the incarnation. You see, the fact that God promised to redeem Adam from his sin, a son of Adam had to be punished for the sin that Adam committed in the Garden of Eden. How God was going to pull that off, he had to become a man himself. He couldn't find one of Adam's offspring by natural generation to accomplish the job, so he had to become a man. For 9 months, God deposited himself in the womb of a virgin so that he could become a man, born into Adam's posterity, into Adam's race, become developed into a man to be nailed on the cross, to do the job that he promised he would do on the cross. I wish I had time to really spread this out, but I trust you would try to see where I'm going with this. Two times in the year I like preaching more than any other time, that is preaching at Christmas and preaching at Easter time, because it tells the story about God in a nutshell. Christ came man. He became a man, born into the world so that he can go to the cross. And that's the mission on which Jesus was. The very first thing he could have said in giving his identity, he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The mission of Christ was twofold. The mission of Christ was twofold. On the one hand, Christ came to bring the message of reconciliation to man, that the only way a person could be just with God is to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, which was shed on Calvary's cross. Man lost his life in the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ came to bring it back on the cross of Calvary. I am come that you might have life, that you might have life back that Adam thrown away at the Garden of Eden. So he accomplished the first task. When he died on the cross, when he was finished with his work, he went back to heaven. And the Bible says that he's now seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for you who would be redeemed by the cross process when he died for your sin and mine. But Jesus going back to heaven, I call what is now left is the unfinished task. And that's the second fold for which Jesus came. Paul said, this is a faithful saying, unworthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. A lot of us this morning and across this globe has been celebrating what you was experiencing this morning, the fellowship with God. And really, you were only qualified to do that because you were born again. This business of fellowshipping with God in a meeting like the one we just came out of is only permitted by those who know Christ as Savior. There was a time in our lives when we heard the gospel. Although Christ procured the possibilities of receiving the gospel on the cross, it does not necessarily, or it doesn't just happen by chance that you could be saved. There got to be come a time in your life when you personally accept Christ as your Savior. I remember as a boy when I was 15, I accept Christ. A friend of mine led me to Christ. I went to Sunday school as a boy. And I felt that I was qualified to go to heaven. Felt that I was good. This friend of mine, we grew up together. We're the same age, born in the same month, but I think he was a couple of weeks older than I, and he led me to Christ. When he invited me to come to Christ, I started to argue over the fact that I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Oh, he said, no, Alfred. God has said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then I argued that I go to Sunday school every morning. Every Sunday morning. I argued that my grandmother was a missionary and that qualified me to become a Christian. And you know, after a long discussion, I'll never forget that Friday evening. After a long discussion, I was convinced that I was a sinner, dead in my trespasses and in sins. I was without hope. Right there and then I accepted Christ as my Savior. That's been about, 60-some years back. A little longer than that, really. Now, why did I tell you that story? Many people go to breaking of bread. Many. A lot of them will not save. Excuse me, but that's a fact. I have 8 children, and they were all born in the assemblies. And they grew up. In my home assembly, they heard the gospel. They learned the way Christians should live. And people could mimic anything. Someone asked me, Malvi, why do you preach the gospel every time you preach? And I tell them, because men got to be saved. Someone asked D.L. Moody, why is it that every time you preach, you said you must be born again? He says, simply because you must be born again. And I preach the gospel of God, you must be born again. Now, I pray to God for all of my children and my grandchildren that they personally become a Christian. But you know, it's possible that they could have gone through the process of going to church. Every time the church door opened, went to Sunday school, they went to breaking of bread, they went to the gospel meeting, and they probably never gave their hearts to Christ personally. But they can fake it to make it. I tell you that, young people, because you could have born in this assembly or any other assembly and heard the gospel of Christ over and over and over again and never really made a personal commitment to Christ. That's possible. But there's a remedy for that. The Bible says, come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they should be as wool. Do you know that's why I closed down my business? I was a business contractor, an electrical contractor in the Bahamas. And back in the 60s, I think, 67, 68, I spent a week in Darlington, South Carolina with T. Michael Flowers. And we had what they call it, it was a Baptist setting, and they called it a revival. And I spent a week, or maybe almost 2 weeks there, and every night I was responsible for leading a Bible study. And one young man came behind my meetings every night. And when it was time for us to leave, he said to me, do you have to go? Do you have to go? How much more time I got? I can take 5 more minutes anyhow. I said, why you ask? He said, because I've never heard the gospel explained so clearly as that, and I won't go home with you. I want you to stay, or one thing or the other. And I say, I can't do either one of them. I can't stay. I got a business to look after. I got some kids to look after. And I can't carry you. But you know, we left. I had to come through Savannah, pass through Jackson, Atlanta, and to go back home. But you know, the whole way home, I saw this young man's face and the question he was asking me. His name was Alford, Henry Alford, and he was saying, do you have to go? And that haunted me. That haunted me. That's why I'm here today. Went home and I told my wife, I'm going to close the business down and go into the States to become a missionary. You would not have known Ray unless that had happened. Why I'm talking about the unfinished task, there are many of you who do come to church and have been born again, but Jesus Christ has left an unfinished task. He has left for you to go into the world with the gospel. Many left here. He said to us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Christ. Something else he said, and I'm going to close. He said, look on the field. The field is ripe or ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into the field for to continue on the work that he started. And my question to you is, would you answer that call? That's the second part of the mission of Christ. He came into the world to give life, and he has left you and me to carry on what he has finished, what he hasn't finished. You know, at the end of the pilgrimage journey, Christ would have been able to finish what he started in the Garden of Eden. He wanted to have a community of saints. Adam messed it up. And God said, I'm going to continue or undo, I'm going to correct what he did. I will still have my community of saints. In a small way, he has that community of saints going. Whenever a person comes to Christ, he joins that community of saints. But there are countless millions out there. Countless millions out there that has heard the call. And he wants you and me to go. Would you grab up the torch and run with it? Would you be the one to take the torch? Would you be the one to say, I remember that Sunday morning on May 28th, and I heard the challenge for Christ. And I bowed to the knee to Christ. And I said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Do you know that's why what our assemblies are doing or trying to do is to not only break bread, not only to have fellowship, but to preach the gospel of Christ. Jesus said, this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you should find rest for your soul. And that invitation is out there. It's open to anyone. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. My prayer is today. There might be some of you here who might feel the call to go to a missionary field. You may not be an Alfred Marley who just go and shut the business down and go to the United States to be a missionary among the blacks. You could be a missionary in school, on a job, in your neighborhood. God doesn't care where you do it. I challenge you this morning to hear the call of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that the Bible says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Father, I believe in every audience, there are those who have not bowed the knee to Christ. Perchance, if there are any here today who don't know you as Savior, would you challenge their heart and convict them of their need? And undoubtedly, there are a lot of us, those of us here today who are saved. But we haven't feel the challenge to take the torch and run with it, to complete the unfinished task that Jesus has set. Jesus was a man on a mission. Allow them and us to continue that mission of bringing sons to glory. As we bring the service to close, we ask you to hear us, bless us, and make us a blessing. For we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. My part of the service is over. God bless you.